So we're middle of this Taisus over here, Yabez Mabez. But Taisus is commenting on the Gemara, which we've read numerous times already, that a katan cannot have kavana, even though there's a gadol emet al gabov. The Gemara says that the shechita is kasha b'diyeved, but that's only according to Rav Nosson. You don't need kavana with shechita. You don't have to have a mind to cut the simanim. You have to have a mind to move the knife. You don't have to have a mind to cut the simanim. If you would, then even a gadol emet al gabov would not be helpful. So Taisus says, but what are you talking about? How could it be that a gadol emet al gabov wouldn't make the katan into a bar kavana? We find that the Gemara says in Masechtas Gittin that you can instruct a katan how to write a get lishma for this sake of this couple. So if they can instruct a katan how to write a get lishma, how could it be they can't instruct the katan how to shecht and have in mind for shechita? So the Taisus distinguishes between two different phrases, which usually are interchangeable, but Taisus claims they're really not, which is gadol emet al gabov and acherim raim oisai. Acherim raim oisai means other people are watching, but they're more passive. So then katan cannot become a bar. Shechita, because it's too passive. But then you can have a gadol emet al gabov. It's not a cherem ramoso. It's a gadol emet al gabov. He can instruct him how to become a bar kavan. He can even write a get lishma. So Taisus distinguishes between these two different types of categories. But then Taisus picks up 12 lines from the top and termed the parak mitzvahs chalitza minon hacheres shenechatz vacheresh shenechalza. If you have chalitza, which with a cheresh or a chereshes, v'chaletz menakatan chitzas a psua. So chalitza is possible. Mefarish hasam cheresh v'chereshes mishum d'rab b'nei kriyaninu v'katan mishum d'ish ksib v'parasha. Because a katan, in order to be kosher for a katan, is possible for chalitza because the pasuk says ish. So Taisa says v'hasha tepuk leidu ba'inan kavana. Why did the Gemara need resort to a pasuk to exclude a katan from chalitza? Should have been enough that he's not a bar kavana. And even if you're standing over him, you're roim oisoi, Agamar says it's not considered to be shechita b'kavana, because you're not instructing him hands-on what to do, you're just supervising. So over here, just supervising a chalitza still should be no good, because the katan won't have in mind. He's not able to have a kavana. For chalitza, you have to have in mind for the chalitza. If she spits and he does whatever, you know, the whole procedure of chalitza without having in mind what they're doing, it's not a good chalitza. So, and Acher Ramo says, it's not enough. You know, it's not an active instruction, it's the supervision. Supervised swim, right, as opposed to instructional swim. So it's not instructional, it's supervised. So that's not enough to make them into a bar kavana, like it's not enough to make them into a bar kavana for shkita. So why did the Gemara need to evoke a pasuk? Ish v'loi katan, just say, because it's not a bar kavana. Ish v'loi the chalitza be'based in havi kegado oimid al-gabav shemazir noise elasos l'smar. Because this is not just supervised, this is instructional. When you have a bais in there for the chalitza, that makes it into like into a guided process, not just a supervised process, and therefore, just like the katan can write a get lishma, he could have performed the chalitza, and therefore we needed the pasuk ish v'loi katan. However, what does this mean? What does it mean? According to Tosfos, can a katan perform chalitza based in? You know, were it not for the exception of the exclusion because of ish v'lo katan? In theory, yes. Right? In theory, a katan could have performed chalitza with someone supervising him, instructing him what to do. Yeah? Is that what Tosfos said? I mean, I think that's what Tosfos said. What's the problem with that? What's unusual? What's striking and startling? Is, let's say like this. Can a katan get married? Can a katan get married? No. Katan is not a bar das to get married. Can't get married. If they're both over bar and bas mitzvah and you're having a mock wedding in camp, that's dangerous stuff. But and even with little kids, we wouldn't advise it. But a katan and a katana cannot get married. They're not a bar das. What if I have parents or not parents? I have other people standing over them, instructing them what to do. Say hare at mikudesh asli, and you instruct the 4-year-old girl to accept it. Is that good or not? No, still no good. Acher Moshe doesn't help, or Gadol Emet Agabov doesn't help for Kiddushin, doesn't help for Gittin. So how could it be, with regards to Chalitza, we're not for the exclusion of Ish V'loi Katan, says Tosfos, they could have been a Bar Kavana, you could have had even a Chalitza, because, or at least Chalitza, you could have had it, because the Beisim will instruct him what to do. That's like a Gadol Emet Agabov, a very involved process. How could that be good? With regards to Gittin and Kiddushin, it's no good. You have to be a Bardas. How come chalitza is any different? So Taisa, the Reb Chaim explains, he asked this question on Taisvis. Over here, Oysa Aleph and Chidusha Reb Chaim. Salvechik used to make a big deal about this Reb Chaim. Reb Shefter has it numerous times in his farm. This is from Reb Chaim. which we hear Reb Chaim coins a phrase called Eidus L'Kiyum HaDavar. Eidus L'Kiyum HaDavar. That in order for a Kiddushin or a Gittin to be valid, it has to take place in front of Eidim. See, sometimes you need Eidim. Sometimes you need Eidim. Why do you need Eidim? Because otherwise we won't know a crime happened, right? If there's no witnesses, you can't prosecute the crime. So sometimes you need witnesses just to tell us what happened. That's what the Gemara in Misestek Suv is called, Ivru Sahadi Ela L'Shakri. That the purpose of the witnesses is in order to tell us what happened, you know, otherwise people will lie. So sometimes witnesses are there to determine the facts. Other times, though, witnesses are there in order to enable an event to take place in the first place. For example, if a couple gets married, we want to elope and get married at the edge of Grand Canyon by ourselves. You know, some stupid, what do they call those things where people take pictures and there's a... like you can't imagine it's happening. I don't know, whatever it's called. There's some name for it. These crazy, not a selfie. Thank you. I'm not that behind the times, but there's I forgot what they're called. You know, like the people hanging off the bridges taking these shots of themselves. Anyway, no. So I guess you want to have one of these you want to have one of these cool pictures by ourselves, no one else there. No, so the wedding is meaningless. In order for a wedding to take place, there have to be witnesses there. If it's Bein Odo, Bein Atzma, the wedding is nothing. You need Eidim, what Reb Chaim calls Eidos L'Kiyum HaDavar. The Gemara says you need Eidim there. Reb Chaim describes it as Eidos L'Kiyum HaDavar, meaning not Eidos to tell me what happened. Lo Ivris HaHadei Elo L'Shakri, witnesses were only created for liars. No. This is in order to enable the event to take place. If there's no witnesses there, it's meaningless. Why? Why? Why are Gittin and Kiddushin? If there's no witnesses there, they're meaningless. Why? Why do I need witnesses there? So Reb Chaim explains, in order for the event to take place, we had in mind to get married. If we got married, we got married. Why are witnesses so important? So Reb Chaim explains, because for Gittin and Kiddushin, you need an elevated level of Das. That's why we've translated this entire time in our discussion of Das and the children. Das means I'm aware of the consequences of my actions. So even adults... right. Let's say one time a guy is on. A video. We're in a room, right? So we'll do certain things in the room that we wouldn't necessarily do if there'd be a million people watching. I remember when I videoed some dry turf for the of leading up to CMI shots. So somebody, the video guy says, "Okay, we're going to start now." He comes to the house. So we're going to put some, it's this green screen or something. So we're going to start now in the house. So he says, "Just know you're talking to Klal Yisrael." I said, "First of all, calm down with yourself. I think you're good and see Shas so wonderful. You're talking to Klal Yisrael." I said, "But also, what are you making me nervous now? I was before, I wasn't nervous now, and all of a sudden I'm talking to Klal Yisrael." So anyway, so you're more now like, "Ooh, I'm gonna be a little bit more careful about what I say." Even adults who are normally aware of the consequences of their actions, when there's other people watching, when there's an audience, we might think twice about saying certain things or doing other things, right? So when there's other people around, when there's an audience, Rabbi Rosenzweig likes to call it a Solomonizing presence. It makes a person think, again, double check, you know, am I sure I want to do this? So before you get married, it's not enough just to be by yourself. Marriage is such a huge decision that you need to have witnesses there to elevate your level of awareness of the consequences of what you're about to do. Meaning when there's an audience, people think twice. So you need the witnesses there to create that environment of a solemnizing presence where now I'm going to think twice about what I'm going to do. So that's why you need Eidus L'Kiyum HaDavar, because Gittin and Kiddushin require your Das, not only a regular adult Das, a person who's aware of the consequences of an action, like a guy who's driving a car, but even, you know, adults can understand that it's a heavy activity. But even higher than that, and we can only generate that with a synthetic or artificial audience. So that's why Gittin and Kiddushin need witnesses, because Gittin and Kiddushin require this higher level of Das. So therefore, that's why a Katan can affect Kiddushin even if it's in the presence of witnesses. So ask Reb Chaim on our Taisvis, if that's the case, why is Chalitza and Ibum any different? And how could it be then that a Gadol standing over a Katan can make the Katan a Bar Chalitza, if by Gittin and Kiddushin such a thing would be unfathomable? So he says over here, six lines from the bottom. He says, "V'nira mukhach mizeh, d'chalot din gerushin v'kiddushin midin chalitza v'lishma." Lishma by writing a get and chalitza are not the same as marriage and divorce. "D'begin v'kiddushin sarach ha-kiddushin v'gerushin, Who creates the marriage? Who creates the divorce? We, the parties who are engaged in this, this event. It's not that I do something and the Torah comes in and imposes marriage. We are the ones who are creating the marriage through our mutual agreement to go to become married. But over here by Chalitza, that's not what's taking place. When we perform a certain ceremony, when a person writes a get with a certain thing in mind, that the Torah steps in and elevates this item, this document to be a get. The Torah steps in and releases this couple from the bonds of Chalitza. So, Kevin dehem asman lav b'nei dea ninu ma'ashe engin b'chalitza v'lishma. Therefore, a cousin can't be involved in kedushin. He's not a bar das to create such a bond. Ma'ashe engin b'chalitza v'lishma ein bohem din das b'ilim. I'm not the one who's creating this institution. Rak kavana hudabainan al etzemaisa chalitza. I need to have kavana to follow through with this ceremony. Not ceremony in terms of, it's ceremonial. But I do a certain formula, and then the Torah steps in, and the Torah releases the bonds of Yibam. The Petur steps in because the Torah inserts it. Well, all you need is intention as opposed to awareness. Das is like an awareness. Kavana is intention. A katan can have intention. He can have kavana. He can't have das. Because he doesn't understand consequences. Children have no idea about it, right? It doesn't matter. Right? You could be in the middle of the road and we'll just sit down in the middle of the road. I'm just not going. Kids throw temper tantrums. We've had it. Every kid has done this. Sits down in the middle of the road and across. I'm not going any further. That's it. Shine. We're here. I'm here. In the middle of the road. Kids don't understand. They don't understand the consequences of what they're doing. So then, you can't help by the fact that other people are guiding him. But if all he needs is kavana, intent, a katan can have intent. There, all you need is kavana, not das. So here, Rav Chaim taught us two things, both huge yesodos. The first is that Edim, by getting a kiddushin, are necessary in order to elevate the das. You need an exaggerated das. For getting in kiddushin, so mashallah, I have to be aware of the consequences in front of an audience. But getting in kiddushin are unique in that sense that you require das because we are the ones who are creating the institution, as opposed to chalitza. There, all we do are lishma by again. All I have to do is have intention to do a certain thing, and the Torah swoops in and makes this document into a get and makes this ceremony into a chalitza. I just have to do the procedure about das ba'im lo ba'inam, but I don't need that high level of awareness. It's not that the yavam creates this, the Torah swoops in and does it. So all you need is kavana. So Reb Chaim here teaches us a yesod from this Tosfos that even though a katan cannot have das, awareness, but he can have, not in a metaphysical sense, he's just not aware of the consequences, he can have kavana, which is intent to do something. Right? He can have katanim, who intend to harm people, who intend to do certain things. He can have intention to cut simanim, if you would instruct him to cut the simanim of the shechita. He can have intention to do chalitza, if you instruct him how to do it. He can have intention to write lishma, if you instruct him how to do it. Intention, yes. Awareness of consequences, no. So that's why he can have chalitza. Chalitza all requires is kavana. That's why, right, you could ask, how could a katan ever perform a mitzvah? If mitzvah is trichas kavana, we mentioned yesterday, right, there's one opinion that holds, in order to fulfill a mitzvah, you need kavana. How could a katan ever fulfill any mitzvah? Katan is labar das. So, al karchach, we must distinguish. We must be forced to distinguish between kavana, intention, versus das, which is a kind of awareness. Okay, so this is all based on our Taisus. Our Taisus says a katan is a bar chalitza fundamentally. We're not for the exeris akaz of ish v'loy katan. You see that a katan, even though he doesn't have das, he does have kavana. He cites the katasus. Okay, so let's go on in the Gemara. It says the Gemara, the two das. It's kind of an esoteric discussion. Katan yesho machshava ein lo machshava. Until now, we've been discussing kavana, right, which is intention to cut the simanim. So Rav Nassan held, you don't need kavana, you need kavana to move the knife. You don't need kavana to cut the simanim. When it comes to the shechita schulen, the Rabbanan held that you did. By karbanos, you require more than that. You have to have, Rashi here explains, l'shem that specific karban. So you have to have in mind the chatas, you have to have in mind an osham, you have to have in mind an oila when you shech these animals. So can a katan have machshava of lishma? We discussed lishma by a get. That's more similar to kamana. Can he have lishma by a karban or not? By Rabbi Yochanan, katan yesh lo machshava, ein lo machshava. Can he have machshava in order to shech the karban lishma? So Taisus here asks, and Rashi, how could he learn the Gemara this way? We're discussing lishma by a karban. Even if you don't have in mind lishma, stam karbanos are lishma. What else are you doing there, right? Stam lishma. That's what we said yesterday. According to the one who holds mitzvahs, ain't sriches kavana. It's not the pshat, you don't need kavana by a mitzvah. It's most people, when they're eating matzah, have in mind for the matzah. Most people are putting on tefillin, have in mind for the tefillin, right? It's, they don't have to announce it. So most people are doing this, have in mind that. If you have in mind not to be yaitzeh, you're not yaitzeh. But if you don't have in mind not to be yaitzeh, stama lishma. So says Taisus, the same is true with regards to karbanos. Perish bekunchitz, gegoin b'shkitas kashim, the operesh velkom debay lishma. That's what Rashi interprets the Gemara. Can a katan have lishma l'shem oylo l'shem chatas chirim osham? V'imtaymer v'ha ha'asa mashra the stama nami kasher. The Gemara sounds like at the beginning of Masech Tzvachim, when the whole sugya of lishma by kashim is described, is found that stam is lishma. Mishum de bezvachim stama lishma kaimin. Ve'eno pasal shi'chavin shaloy lishma. It's only possible if you have in mind not for the mitzvah. V'yesh loymar, the Taisus says the stam katan gara. Even though a stam adult is lishma, stam katan is just, who knows what the katan, he's thinking about marshmallows, who knows what he's, cotton candy. V'yesh loymar, the stam of the katan gara, de'en lo das lehovin, shem kachim. We can say stam lishma, or right, most people have in mind the mitzvah, mitzvah shikas kava, mitzvah shikas kava, most people have in mind the mitzvah if you're an adult. If you're a katan, I don't know what the kid is thinking. He's thinking about his birthday present or something. But havalei misasek upasel. That's why we can talk about it. Okay, so the shayla over here is, can a katan have a machshava of lishma with regards to a karban? Machshava or ein lo machshava. Amalei Rabbi Ami, v'tiboy le maisa. What are you asking? Can he have a machshava? Can he even perform a maisa? Meaning, is his actions, do they carry with it the same significance as the actions of a gadol? Maishna maisa v'go kami boy. Why didn't you ask about maisa? Because you knew that the actions of a katan are significant. Disnan, because we have a Mishnah, Yesha and Maisa. So machshava nami lo tibayrei. If you knew the Mishnah, that katanim have Maisa, that their actions are considered to be actions, and it has significance in halacha, then you also know the same Mishnah, the same Mishnah that says katanim have Maisa, says also they don't have their machshava, is irrelevant. Machshava nami lo tibayrei, disnan, ein lehem machshava. Where's this Mishnah? That katanim have a Maisa and they don't have machshava, it sounds like it's found in the same Mishnah. Disnan, it's a mission with regards to Masechtas Kelim, with regards to Kabbalah's Tumah. In order for a Keli to be Makabal Tumah, it has to have a use. You can't have Kabbalah's Tumah if it has no use. So this knot, what's a Keli that has a use? Ha'aloin, ha'rimon va'egos. I don't know, what is an aloin? Some sort of nut or something? A rimon is a pomegranate. An egos is also a nut.
Yeah.
It's a nut also? Two nuts? All right, I guess two different types of nuts. Ha'alon and an egos. Shechakakum tinoikos lemoid behen afar. The children carved out it in order to hold dirt. Some sort of pre-monopoly game. I don't know what they're doing with the dirt and the nut, but okay. Shechakakum tinoikos lemoid behen afar. They're going to measure dirt. Osha tinoikos, maybe make sandcastles. Osha tinoikos hiskinum lekaf moznayim. Or, I set it aside to serve as a counterbalance on a weight. Yeah, on a scale. So I set aside for use. Temein. Then the Makabal Tumah. Yesh Lohen Maisa. Ah, why are the actions of the Katan good in establishing this Keli as a Kli for Kabbalah's Tumah? Because he did an action. When a Katan does an action, it has significance in Halacha. Ve'ein Lohen Machshava. But if all the Katan did was set it aside to play with, let's say he finds an egg, a nutshell. What are those nuts that you peel? Sometimes a red. Pistachios. He finds a pistachio nuts and he decides to make a game out of them. I don't know what game he makes. He decides to make a game out of them. That's not enough that he just thought about it. It's not makabel tumah. So it's only if the cousin does a mitzvah, he carves into the kli, then it's makabel tumah. If he just thinks about it, it's not makabel tumah. So you see, the same Mishnah says katanim don't have machshava, meaning the machshava is not significant, in which case the cousin thinks the carbon is lishma, should it matter? Is no good, and by the same token, his Maisa should be a Maisa. It's all found in the same Mishnah. What are we debating this for? It's a Mishnah. So Amalei responded, no, you're right. Machshava great does lo kami boile. Can the katan have a regular machshava l'shem chatos l'shem mashum l'shem oila without doing anything to indicate that he understands what he's doing? No, of course not. And if he, you know, what are we discussing then? We're discussing what if it's obvious that he had in mind because he did something to show what he had in mind. It's not that you need the machshava. So it's not a maisa like over here where he did drill the hole into the nutshell, but he did something which perhaps is an indication that he has the machshava. Like what? He took the carbon from the southern side of the azara to the northern side, which is where the shkita has to take place. The oil was in the southern end of the Azara. He brought it to the northern end of the Azara. And there he shefts it. So my midaasi b'tzofen, since he brought it towards the Muslim quarter, that's the northern side. Southern side is towards Ir David. So we should think about where these things are. So he brought it towards East Jerusalem. He brings the carbon to that side of the Azara. Then he's demonstrating, oh, you see, I understand what I'm doing. V'shachli chavin. Dilma, or maybe no, Malcolm Hudulo Yisrami. Maybe just couldn't find any room on the southern side. There were too many people there, so he went to the northern side. It doesn't indicate anything about what he had in mind. Can we interpret from his actions about what he has in mind? V'shachli mai, mida'as v'tzom, v'shachli chavin, Dilma, Malcolm Hudulo Yisrami, hainami. Okay, so Hainami Amra, so that was the suffix that the Gemara had. What about Machshav Toni Keres Mitoich Ma'asev? So Hainami Amra Rabbi Yochanan Chad, the Zimna Desnan, we have a Mishnah about this. Hamale Peirois of Legag Mipnei Kenima. A person brings his fruits up to the roof because Kenima, I think, are flies. I don't know why there are less flies on the roof. I guess a higher altitude, there were less flies. Is that true? In Israel, on the roof, are there no flies? Down below in the summertime, you get eaten alive by the flies. Up top, I don't know why you bring it to the roof to get rid of the flies, but okay. V'yard aleim tal. What happened? You brought them up for the flies, but then dew falls on them. Ein and b'chiyutan. So they're not considered to be kiyutan. That's talking about the pasuk in Parshas Shmini, Parshas Kedoshim. Where is it? I think it's Parshas Shmini about hekshar l'kabolas tuma. In order for fruits to be royal Kabal Tuma, they have to become wet first. Plus it says, Ki yitein mayim al zera. That's the quoted over here? No. I have it over here. Ki yitein mayim al zera. It's only if water falls on them, then it's Makabal Tuma. But it's written Ki yitein, but it's pronounced Ki yutan. Ki yutan mayim al zera. There's no Vav there. It's written Chaser Vav. But it's Yud Taf Nun. So it's written Ki Yitain, that's how you would read it, but it's really Ki Yutan. What's the difference between Ki Yitain and Ki Yutan? Ki Yitain means I did it. Ki Yutan means it was done. In the passive. So Ki Yutan Ma'im Azer. So the Gemara says, Ki Yutan Dumit Ki Yitain. Either I got it wet, or when it got wet, I had intention that I was happy that it got wet. I was happy that it got wet. So, meaning it happened on its own, the dew fell on it, but I'm happy that it happened. That's kiyutan, it happened by itself, but it's dumid kiyitain. That's why it's written chaser vav, I'm happy that it happened. Just like if I had done it myself, I would be happy, obviously. So if it happened by itself, I have to be happy about it. That's the Gemara Mesechus Bava Metzi over here. Or Beis Medav over here, or Isgim on the sheet. That if you're happy about it while the dew is still there, then it's Ma'ashu L'Kabal Tuma. The Rav Papa Rami says, look at the second line. Ki yitain v'karinan ki yutan. It's written, ki yitain, it's read, ki yutan. Ha-keitza ba'inan ki yutan, dume de ki yitain. When it happens by itself, it rains on the fruits, I have to be happy about it when it's there. Ma yitain l'das, av ki yutan ami l'das. Who's happy about it, though? Who's happy? Presumably the owner. The fruits. Then it's royal, kapal tuma. That's how the Rambam learns. The Rashba, Masechta Shulin, later on in Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis, disagrees and he says, no, if anybody's happy about it, even somebody else, says the Rashba over here, he's Beis Mikan Diktiku B'Toises, the little bit in Rotzen Bailam. You don't need the Rotzen of the Bailam. Anybody who's happy about it. Someone walks by and says, it's good the fruit got washed. Then already it's Roy L'Kabal Tuma. The Rambam disagrees, it's only the Bailam. Strange Machlokes. What are they arguing about? Maybe they're arguing about what the whole purpose of Hefshel L'Kabbalas Tuma is. For, why? If I were to ask you, why does a fruit have to become wet in order for it to be Roy L'Kabbal Tuma? Tumas Oichlim. Why does it have to become wet? What would you say? It's Xeris HaKosev. I don't know. No, but if we have to understand it some way, there's really two ways of understanding it. The traditional way would be, because what do you do before you wash a fruit if you're not a wild behemoth? What do you do when you eat? You wash the fruit. You're supposed to wash the fruit. I don't know, sometimes I see people in the grocery store, they pick up the apple and they start eating. Ugh, disgusting. It's disgusting. No wonder this coronavirus is spreading all over the place. It's just disgusting. It's gross. You've seen people do that?
Yeah.
People walk around the grocery store eating. First, I don't know how you have to pay for it, but it's a stam gneva, but it's also gross. Ugh. The whole world touched that apple, now you're eating it. Ugh. Anyway, so you have to wash the fruit. We shouldn't open these things, okay? But you have to wash the fruit. So washing the fruit means now it's ready to be served. So it's the completion of the growing process. Now it's food. Before then, it was a dirty, thing that fell off a tree. Now it's food because it's been washed. So maybe it has to become wet because in order for food to be makabel tumah, it has to be food. And it's not food till it's washed. And that's indeed how the Rashbam learns. Look over here, says the Rashbam. The only time food can become tame, a few psukim before this, the only time it can become tame is if it first became wet. If you want to give a reason for it, says the Rashbam, we can speculate. Because of the way that most people conducted themselves in the medieval period of the Rishonim, they washed their fruit. Until it's ready to be eaten. Who doesn't eat fruits before washing them first? This is not a modern invention. The Rashbam was washing his fruits. So that's when it's royal achila. So it's not finished growing until you wash it. Because then it's about to be eaten. But then, who should matter that they're happy that it became washed? Who has the rights to eat this fruit? The owner. So then who has to wash it? The owner. What if some other neighbor washed my fruit? He still can't eat it. It'd be gneva if he ate it. So his washing is meaningless. It only becomes food when I wash it because I'm the one who has the right to eat it. So then it makes sense, like the Rambam said, that it's only, it has to be that I desire that it became wet. Ki yitain, ki yutan, it's only hekshel kabal tumah if it became wet, even by rain, but I'm happy about it as the same way that one would be if he did it himself. Who's happy about it? Says the Rambam, the Balaam, because he's the one who's going to eat it. That's what hekshel kabal tumah is all about, making it a shame oichol. Before it became washed, it has no shame oichol, now it has a shame oichol. However, the Ramban gives a different reason. Fascinating. Ramban says a different reason for this Hechshel Kabbalas Tumah. Because what happens when things become wet? They're sticky. Stuff gets stuck to it. So now that it became, if it never became wet, the dirt will fall right off it. Now that it became wet, it'll become muddy. And you know what's stuck in the mud? Bugs. So now that it became wet, a sheretz, something tameh is going to become stuck to it. Before now, it would have just fallen off. So says Ramban, no, you know why? The apple isn't mekabel tumah until it becomes wet, because anything that's tameh would have fallen off. But now that it became wet, the tumah is stuck to it. V'tameh hekshel b'avor, ki lichluch hasheretz v'ametamim yidabek v'machalim b'lechus. Says Ramban, they're going to become attached to the fruit. V'loy came b'yaveshim, not so with regards to dried. Stuff that never became wet. So therefore, the Torah here made a siyag. This is chiddush al gabi chiddush. It's because now, what might happen if I eat the fruit? I will become tamei. So Chazal, in order to distance myself from the sheretz that's attached to the apple, Chazal said, once it became wet, you can't eat the apple because the apple is tamei. Why? In order to distance myself from becoming tamei with the sheretz. V'asa Torah hachaki yaseru tamei amuksharim b'mayim v'nigvu. Okay, so why is the fruit tamei after it becomes wet? Because maybe there's tumah stuck to it. V'negam din ha'esh shenoi b'tumah sanaveos. Okay, fine. If that's the case, So then who got the item wet over here? Who's happy about it? It doesn't matter. It doesn't necessarily have to be the biome. It has nothing to do with who's going to later eat the fruit. It only has to do with the fruit becoming wet and someone noticing it, or, you know, someone being aware of it. So then even if it's the person who's not necessarily the bialim, it might already be considered Hechshel Kabbalas Tumah. Okay, but this is what Hechshel Kabbalas Tumah is all about. Once the item became wet, someone was happy about it, so now it's Mekabel Tumah. Let's go back to the Gemara. So it says the Gemara, we're discussing, Kan HaKotan, you know, his machshava is meaningless alone. His maaser certainly is significant. If he drills a hole in the keli, he's Mekabel Tumah. What if he has machshava, but his nikar is Metayek maaser? So it says, where is this? It's not a mal of peiros of the gam le'aknim. A guy brings up the fruits to the roof to avoid the flies. V'yar malim tal and dew falls on them. Einam b'chiyuton. That doesn't mean I'm necessarily happy they became wet because I didn't put them up there to become wet. In this kavan lekach, if you put them up there to become wet, harei hein b'chiyuton. Then you're happy about it. So then it is makabel tuma. He'elum chayre shayt v'katan. What if a katan brings it up there? We don't know what he has in mind. Afal pishin is kavnu kach einem bechiyudim im neishi yesh lehen ma'isav ein lehen machshava. The machshava is meaningless. Okay? So he brings it up there. I don't know if he has in mind what he has in mind. But isn't it machshava and he cares me talking ma'isav? Why else is he bringing it up there? So you see that that's not really good enough. We say the ein lehen machshava, and even though he did a little bit of a ma'isav, ein lehen machshava. But I'm Rabbi Yochanan. No, that's because that ma'isa doesn't really indicate anything. What if he does do a ma'isa which indicates something? Meaning, that's only if he didn't turn over the fruits on the roof, so the other side should get wet too. If he turns them over, now it's machshava and he carries me to talk ma'isa. Meaning before now it was just machshava. He brought it up to the roof. I really don't know what he has in mind. Maybe he just wants to avoid the flies. Maybe he wants them to get wet. Now that he flipped them over, it's not just machshava. It's machshava and he cares me to talk myself. How can come me by way? So you see, machshava and he cares me to talk myself is good. That is a machshava for the katan. So you're right. Says the Gemara, you're right. We knew that machshava and he cares me to talk myself is good. How can come me by way? Is that a din d'oraisa? Is that a din d'rabbanan? So machshava and katan is meaningless. He can't have machshava chatas ka, you know, ashem ayla. And his machshava for kabbalas tuma, hechshel kabbalas tuma is meaningless. Or machshava to label something as a kli for kabbalas tuma is meaningless. But if he does a ma'isa, which is obvious, certainly, then yes. What if it's machshava and he drills a hole in the keli and now it has a base kibbutz and certainly could be used as a utensil? That's of course. What if he has the machshava and he cares me to talk ma'isa? It's not, you know, his actions indicate what he has in mind, like kabbalas tuma, or he brought the carbon from one end of the yazar to the other and to shecht in the proper place. Then we say, machshava and he cares me to talk ma'isa, it is good. The shayla the Gemara has is that dindar raisa dindar abanan. And then the Gemara goes on to quote the same discussion, just in a different direction. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Masni Yochi, he learned it like this. I mean, he had recorded the discussion in this way. Amar Rav Chiya, same conclusion. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, bar Rav Yechman, katan yesh la ma'isa, ema ma'isa. The actions of a katan, is that, you know, an action or not? Amale Rabbi Yami, v'tibayle machshava. Why did you ask about ma'isa? Ask about machshava. Ma'isa, machshava, the little kami boy. You didn't ask about machshava because you knew it was no good. This non ain't that machshava because we had the Mishnah by Caleb that the machshava is no good. If he has a mind to use it as a keli, he's still not makabel tuma. Ma'isa nami go tibayle. You shouldn't have asked about the ma'isa because the same Mishnah says this non yesh la ma'isa that if he drills a hole in the in the shell, then it is in the nutshell, then it is good. So pashat yesh la ma'isa v'afil midaraisa ain't the machshava v'afil midarabanan. It says of course the machshava alone is insignificant. The ma'isa for sure, you know, by itself, of course, is meaningful. Machshav, and he cares me talk myself. What about if the machshav is nika through their ma'isa midaraisa in ein lo midarabanan yeshla? That's the midaraisa that's only the midarabanan. That midaraisa is insignificant. Midarabanan it is significant. Okay, same conclusion. Let's go on. By minei Shmuel meRav Huna, minai lamisasek bekadshim. How do you know if a guy is when he's shechting kadshim? Taisus here explains that it doesn't mean anymore they didn't have kavana for shechitas simanim, because there's one opinion that has nothing to do with kachim. That's even by all shechitas is a dispute between Rav Nosson and the Rabbanan. We're talking about over here, he has kavana with shame shechitas simanim. He doesn't have kavana with shame kachim. So a guy is shechting animals, he doesn't recognize, he's not thinking about that this is kachim. So is that a good shechita for kachim or not? He guys has a normal job and he wakes up 6 in the morning, he's going on autopilot over here, and he just shechting, he forgot that he was shechting his carbon. So minayin le misasek. Misasek means he's not aware of what's going on. Misasik is a huge category in halacha. What's the status of a misasik? He's not responsible for his actions. You don't even realize it's taking place. See, a shoygig or an oynes is someone who I forgot it's Shabbos, so I turned on the light. I walk into the room, and by habit, I turn on the light. That's a shoygig. An oynes means I knew it was happening, but it was forced, right? Or entirely an accidental, but I still understood that it was happening. Misasik means I didn't even understand it was happening. So such a person, right, an oynes or shoygeg, oynes, if it's forced upon you, you're liable. Shoygeg, you have to bring a karbon, because I should have been more attentive and aware that it was Shabbos. Misasik, you're not chayiv at all. Misasik, you're not chayiv at all, because you didn't even know what happened. Over here, we used to have, there used to be no Erev across the Amsterdam Avenue. When the Baron Salvagic was alive, he wouldn't let them build Erev across the Amsterdam Avenue. Then after, typical YU, after Baron Salvagic passed away, a few days passed, they built an Erev across the Amsterdam Avenue. Now there's one the whole Washington Heights of there. But in the olden days, if you were in the morgue, or even if you were in Mus, what did you do? They still have room keys, right? So what do you do with your key on Shabbos? You couldn't cross Amsterdam Avenue to go eat in the calf. So in the olden days, in the big base medrash, this was a parking lot. In the old days, in the old base medrash, there used to be lockers. There's still a locker room on the side, right? Those lockers, which they have in the locker room, that used to be Rabbi Cohn's office, the coat room in the old base medrash. So and the lockers weren't in there. They were in bookshelves in the old base medrash that are set into the wall. You know what I'm talking about? So they're embedded in the wall. All those bookshelves that are embedded in the wall used to be lockers. It was a horrible base medrash. First, no one was facing the same direction. Half the people facing this way, half the people that way, and it looked like a locker room. It was terrible. Terrible. And in the back of the base medrash were stacks of bookshelves. Weird. Anyway, so you used to put your key in the locker. Let's say you're in Mus, you put your key in your locker, and then you'd go to eat in the calf. Or they used to have these mailboxes. I don't know if they still have them in the basement. Where had you get mail? Oh, you have to go to the belfry now? So it used to be mailboxes. In morgue, you put your key in your mailbox and then cross the street to go down in the basement. Fine. So, but sometimes people would forget their key here and there. Fine, you'd have a problem. So one solution, so a guy suggested, Lamdin suggested, well, I could take the key, I'll slip it into your pocket while you're not aware. You'll cross the street. You're a misasik. You didn't even know you were carrying it. And then I'll get across the street and I'll ask you, oh, by the way, can I have my key? I'll say, I don't have your key. I'm sorry. And they say, no, you do. It's in your pocket. Who put it in my pocket? Say, if you don't even know about it, it's not even an aveira in the first place. Don't do this. It's not nice. But either way, a misasik b'chlal is not your action. You didn't even realize it was happening. So b'ayim in eshmo is less than a shoygeg. What if a guy is shechting karbonis and he thinks he's shechting chul and he's totally not even thinking about it at all that he's shechting kachem? It's mamash and misasik, he's unaware of it. So minayim misasik b'kachem shu puzzle, shenema v'shachel is ben ha-bakar, shetei shkita l'shem ben bakar. Has to be the shem kachem. Amaloi zubi adenu hi la'akev. Zubi adenu in kachem is not enough to have one pasuk that says something. In order for it to be ma'akev, you need a second pasuk. That's unique by kachem. La'akev minayin, how do we know that this is not just a din l'chadchila, but it's actually ma'akev, meaning if you don't have it, that the carbon is possible, not just you didn't do the right mitzvah, lir tzonchem tiz bachuhu, you should shech the lir tzonchem. Lir tzonchem means willingly, obviously it also means with the ratzon of the ribono shel olam, but it means willingly, l'dat chem zavchuhu, meaning it has to be something you chose to do, and therefore it has to be something you're aware of. If you're unaware that you shechten kachem, it's no good. So you have to have in mind the shame, shechitas kachem, not just more than chulin. Chulin, it's a dispute, your name was shechitas, you need the shame, shechitas simanim. Over here, you need the shame, shechitas kachem. And the guy's unaware of it, so that's no good when it comes to kachem. We had two psukim, it's not only dealing with chachil, it's even ma'akev. Let's go on. So that's the Mishnah. Shechitas oive kachavim nevela umetami b'masa. This is a halacha we've encountered already. If you have the shechit of a non-Jew, it's no good. And it's metami b'masa. The Gemara is going to ask, every nevela is metami b'masa. Meaning, if it's not a shechita, what is it? It's a dead animal that wasn't shechted. That's roadkill. Roadkill is a nevela. Nevela meat is metami b'masa. It's not also for kahanim to come in contact with a nevela. Kahanim are only prohibited, I'll call nafshois mace lo yavo, only from coming in contact with a tumas mace, with death of a human being. But it is metame. In days when we would be careful about tumah v'tara, then in a vega, we wouldn't be able to pick up a dead deer or something. In a vega would be metame b'masa. Nothing to do with Tumas Kahanim. Fine. Neveira in Isar Naloi. That the Shechit of an Achri is a Neveira, but it's not like stuff that was shechted for an Avodah Zarah, which is not only Aser and Achila, it's Aser Bahana, you can't derive any benefit from it because it's Avodah Zarah. So, Mantana, Amr Abchia, Berebi Abba, Amr Abyachnan, Dulok Rebbe Loza. This is not like Rebbe Loza, the E, Rebbe Loza, Hamar, Stama, Sheves, Evi Kechavim, Lavodah Kechavim. Most non Jews have in mind what? The Getchka, they have in mind the Avodah Zarah. In which case, it be Shechit of Avodah Kechavim, be Aser Bahana, Rebbe Ami, Amr Hachi Katani, Shechit of Evi Kechavim, Levela, Hadami, Lavodah Kechavim. It's Nevela, and it is, it's Nevela. Hadamin, if it would be the Shechita of a Min, meaning someone who is who is known to worship Avodah Zarah, then Avodah Kochavim, then it is like a Shechita of Avodah Kochavim would be Yasser Nana. So a regular Oved Kochavim, meaning a regular non-Jew, Shechita is just a Nevela, it's not a Shechita of Avodah Kochavim. If he's a Min, Jew or non-Jew, right? If he worships another religion, he's an active participant or more of like a believer, not just a follower. So then, Hadamin, if he's a min, how does Rashi say Tajmin? The Israel of a kosher came to over Kochavim, what's a min? Doesn't translate for you. B'min Yisrael Kamari, what is a min? Yeah, but it means someone who's like, converted to another religion, an active participant. Then it is like a shechita of kachavim. Tanina laha, because we found the Tanur Rabbanan, we found a Mishnah like this. Shechita smin la'avik kachavim, pito pas kusi, yeno yayin esech. His bread is the bread of a kusi, it's like a pasakum. His yayin is not only stam yenom, which is not also in Hana, it's yeno, is yayin esech. It's also b'hana. Sfar of Sifrei Kaisman, his books are the books of heretics. Peros of Tevalim, all of his fruits are all good. V'yesh oimrim, af. Bana Mamzerim. If he's a Jew, of course the Min could even be a Jew, then his children are presumed to be Mamzerim. The Tanakama Ishtal Mifka. The Tanakama disagreed that the children are not Mamzerim. Even a guy who's worshipping Avodah Zarah, active participant, why would he give his wife to somebody else to marry? That's not necessarily part of the deal when it comes to Avodah Zarah. Wife swapping. So therefore he didn't believe that the Banam are Mamzerim. Amamar. So Mar now is going to comment on this. Shechitas Ovi Kachavim Nevela. The Shechitas Ovi Kachavim, a regular Ovi Kachavim, not a Min, is a Nevela. V'necha Shem Aminu. How do you know? Maybe the guy is a Min. How do you know that he's not a Min who's like an active, rah-rah-rah guy? How do you know he's just an Ovi Kachavim? Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barvua, Ein Minin Bu'umais Ovi Kachavim. There are no Minim in the Ovi Kachavim. What are you talking about? We see them all the time. What are you talking about? There aren't any. Hakachazina deika. So Ema ain roiv Ovi Kachavim minim. Roiv Ovi Kachavim are not like these active rah 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 religious types. That's not what they are. We hope most Jews are. Hopefully, are rah rah rah. But in terms of Yiddishkeit, but most of the Kachavim are not that rah 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 about their believing in the Avodah Zarah. They're stam. Not that devout. So therefore, their shechita is only nevela. It's not aser ba'ana. Savalaki hada amar Reb Chiya bar Abba, Reb Yochanan, Nachum, shebechutzar, it's lav doivdei kachavim hein. The Nachum and Chutzar are not really active doivdei kachavim, elo minig aviseihem biyadeihem. That's what Chazal say. Why should we keep Yom Tov Sheni? Shogolias, they sent for Shochu Mitam, the Gemara says, Masechtas Beitz and Avdalin. You have to make sure to keep Yom Tov Sheni Shogolias, even though we're Mekadosh HaChodesh al-Piyah Cheshbon with a calendar, not al-Piyah Re'iyah. Because he's zaru b'mineg aviseichem b'yadeichem. This is when it comes to us, it's a holy thing over here. But over here, it's like they're not really active Ovdei Kachavim, live participants. They're followers, so they don't really believe. They do it. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch because the Gemara says most people, if you ever learn Avodah Zarah, learn the Avodah Zarah. So what's the halacha when it comes to the yomim tovim of non Jews? Are you allowed to do business with them?
No.
3 days. Before, why not?
Because then they'll help them prepare for the chag.
No, then they're going to thank their gods.
They're going to thank their gods, yeah. They're going to thank their gods. So it says, they learned it together. You're going to thank their gods. Okay. It's a tag team. Because then they're going to thank their gods. So the says in Shulchan Aruch, what about today? How do we do business with them? Oh, Black Friday. Aren't they going to thank their gods?
They say it's not like from their gods.
Huh? So it says in Shulchan Aruch already, they're not that religious. No one is thanking their gods come Black Friday. No, I have yet to have, you know, a doorman. You tip him around, you know, the holiday season. He says, oh, thank you, you know, that day. He's like, that's it? That's all they say. You know, that's what the garbage man says. So they're not, they aren't thanking their gods, you know, that the Buddha doll with the six arms. Oh, thank you, you know. They're not thanking that. Yeah, right next to the Buddha doll, they have a picture of the Rebbe. My mechanic, who's from South America, has a Buddha doll, has a Rebbe, he has some sort of Yashki statue, whatever works, to, you know. He's a man of all gods, yeah?
I think it says in the second paragraph also that it's mutter on the way back because they wouldn't, they're not going to go back and say thank you to their God because they're not so devout. And then it says that...
Already in the Gemara.
Yeah, it says, but if there's a Jew who, like, does Bodh Zara, then, like, It's usher on the way there.
He's more religious.
Because he would be more religious.
He's more religious, yeah. So Amar Rav Yosef bar Maimon, Amar Rav Nachman, Ein Minim Ba'umos Ovdei Kochavim. The Minim of the Umos are not Ein Minim Ba'umos Ovdei Kochavim. There are no Minim in the Ovdei Kochavim. Why? Ilemu Shkita. So when he said this, that Roiv are not Ovdei Kochavim. What did he mean? Amar Rav Yosef bar Maimon, Amar Rav Nachman, Ein Minim Ba'umos Ovdei Kochavim, meaning most of them are not active, they're just followers. Why? If the shechita of a min of a Yisrael is usher, a min of an non-Jew certainly would be usher. When we said, meaning, of course, if we know he's a min, then certainly his shechita would be usher because the shechita of a Yisrael who's a min is prohibited. Meaning, and presumably it would be makabel tuma. Is that what he means? Presumably be makabel tuma. Yeah, basur bahana. Dovei kachavim mibay, says Rashi. Of course, it would be also bana. Ela lemoirid. Then, what did he mean? Roiv are not, or what do you mean that there are no minim bovei kachavim? He means with regards to the halacha moiridin. You know, most of them are not active, and therefore we don't apply moiridin. What is this moiridin? The Gemara says Maseches Avodah Zarah also, I think, that in order to prevent the influence of you know, certain destructive individuals within the community, Chazal didn't want to put them to death, right? They're not Chayv Misa formally, but they were so harmful to the community that Chazal felt we should put them in a, you know, if passively put them in a pit, let them rot over there in the pit, or if they fall into the pit, we shouldn't save them. That was... we wouldn't help them, we wouldn't necessarily put them in the pit, but then there were certain individuals who were so harmful, Marid of Lomalin, we put them in and we wouldn't help them out.
The excuses.
Yeah.
My son was there.
Right, so we could get out of it. We could get out of it. But it was a harasha. This was because they were bad for the community. So how should the Yisrael Maridin, a man who's a Jew, will put him in a pit and not help him out? If he's an Ovdei Kochavim, of course, we wouldn't help him out. So of course, you know, the minim of the Ovdei Kochavim are just as much minim as the Jewish minim. So Amar Rav Ukva bar Chama l'kabbalah. So certainly it can't be that the minim of the Ovdei Kochavim are not minim with regards to Maridim v'lomalim. We'd even put the Jew in that situation. Amar Rav Ukva bar Chama l'kabbalah mehen karban. What it means is that we can still accept the karban from them, even though, you know, the most non-Jews are not a min, and therefore we can accept the karban from them. The sanya, because we have a brisa mikem v'lo kulchem lahoitzi es hamumar. Pasuk says, Mikem, you can accept the carbon. Mikem, not all of you, meaning you can accept the carbon from a Jew, but not from a Jew who's a mumar, who's not religious. Mikem, b'chem chalakti v'loi b'uvdei kachavim. With regards to Jews, there's a difference between a mumar and a Jew, you know, a practicing Jew. A practicing Jew, we can accept the carbon, not if he's abandoned Torah mitzvos, but you can, we only make such a distinction between Jews, not by non-Jews, we can't accept the carbon from a non-Jew. Mimai, says Igmar, how do you know that we should learn the pasuk like that? And meaning, and most, so can we accept the carbon from a min? Certainly not. But most non-Jews are not minim, so we can accept their carbon. Mimai, Dilma Hakikamar, Mi Yisrael Matzdike, Kabel, Mi Rishoy Gose Kabel, for by a Jew, you can accept from Tzadikim, not from Rishoyim. Avam Yovdik Kokomim, Klo, you can't accept the carbon from non-Jews at all. Says Gemar, no, it can't be. You certainly can accept the carbon from non-Jews. The Sanya, Ish, Ma Tomalomar, Ish, Ish the rabbis have the kachavim shenoydim nedarim v'nedavitz kiso. You can't accept the carbon from a non-Jew. Most non-Jews are not minim, so you can accept their carbon. What did the Gemara though? Until we got here, what did the Gemara suggest when we said ein minim but umos have the kachavim? We said, what does it mean that there's no minim By Rav de Kachavim, or at least Rav, and not Minim, we ask, well, with regards to what halakha? So Gemara says, well, it's with regards to Shechita. So Gemara says, no, the Shechita, meaning the min of a non-Jew, is not considered to be a min. With regards to what? So with regards to his Shechita is good? No, the Shechita of a Jew who's a min, his Shechita is no good. With regards to Marid and Velomalin, a Jew who's a min, we would be Marid and Velomalin. Certainly a non-Jew who's a min, we'd be Marid and Velomalin. What we meant is that even the Minim of the Oiv Dei Kachavim are not Minim, that's with regards to the fact we can't accept a cover from him, even though he's a min. The only time we distinguish between a minim and non-minim is with regards to Jews and donating carbon. If he's a Jew and he's a min, we can't accept his carbon. If he's a non-Jew, even though he's a min, we can't accept his carbon. We can't accept his carbon. But his shechita would still be asabana, and it would still be moriden velo malin. But even this, right, so what would emerge from this Gemara is a non-Jew who's a min would certainly be a moriden velo malin. Just like a Jew who's a min. But look over here at this Rambam. The Rambam says over here, Perek Gimel, Hilchos Mamrim, Halacha Gimel. That even though we have this halacha, that Moridim Velo Malin, we would lower them, but we wouldn't raise them by Minim, who are Ovdei Kachavim, and certainly by Yisrael Min as well. That's only if they are active Minim, right? If they're Roiv non-Jews, who are just followers, we wouldn't have any such halacha of Moridim Velo Malin. If he's what's known as a Tinok Shenishba, it's a Tinok Shenishba. This is the way Bruce brought up. What do you want from him? So then the Rambam says, there's no halacha marid in v'lo malin. Says the Rambam, v'amed v'ar mamurim be'ish shekafer betar shabal pevim ha'shavdu v'arim shenir lo. He made a conscious decision to rebel. V'halacha kardaito ha'kali followed his way of thinking v'am ha'shriyus libo v'kafer betar shabal pev t'chilon, whatever. He's the guy who's leading the charge. Av'al b'nei ha'toy mo'ela. But the children of these individuals, b'nei b'neiem, and their descendants, she'dichu oisam avoisam and odu b'nei karam v'godu osam adaitam, they raised them based on this frame of thinking. Harehu ketinok shenizra b'neiem v'godu v'en ozaris lecho b'darkei mitzvah. See, he's a tinok shenizra. He was never given a proper education. Harehu ka'onus, he's like an oines, and certainly would not say, marid v'lo malin, l'fichach roi la'zirim b'tshuva l'mashkin b'divei shom ha'chiyasu le'esan ha'tayr. We should try and help them back to the path, and this would apply to non-Jews as well. If he's not an active participant, he's b'nei ha'toy mo'egos, so if he's a Jew also, but he's not like he's leading the charge. He's a min, because he doesn't know anything else. He's a tinoch shenishba, and we would not apply marina v'lo malin. But even, let's say, you have a guy who is a min, he's an active participant, he is leading the charge. The Chazon Ish says there's no such halacha anymore, marid and v'lo malin. The whole halacha doesn't apply. Number one, it wouldn't apply even in the times of the Gemara to a tinoch shenishba. Like the Gemara said, most of them are just followers. Right? We said a min, his shechita is asmana, and marid and v'lo malin. Most non-Jews are not minim, but even if he is a min, we reply marid and v'lo malin. So the Rambam evokes that distinction. Most non-Jews, even if they're a min, you know, they didn't come to it on their own. Or Jews who are men didn't come to it on their own, they're just followers, like the Gemara already said, and the halacha wouldn't apply, but the Chazon Ish says the whole halacha marid v'lo malin, which was just a harasha, like a community measure, in order to preserve the integrity of the community, doesn't apply anymore in our times, it doesn't have the desired effect. The whole purpose was in order to create, to draw a line in the community, we're not going to accept these kinds of individuals. In our times, it would be viewed just the opposite. It would be viewed as the harsh tactics of the community, and would not bring anybody back, would not preserve the integrity of the community. If anything, it would do just the opposite. So therefore, says the Chazon Ish, perhaps the most famous line in the entire Chazon Ish, six volumes that he has. This is the most famous line. Says the Chazon Ish, I'm sure you've seen it before. V'nira de'ein din maridin o bizmachos gachasa yizbarach geluya kamo bizmachos yunisim etzuyin mishamish babasko. When there were these kinds of highly spiritual communities we lived in, then you could have this halacha. It's tzaddik yador tachash hashgacha pratis and years later in kol, when there was hashgacha pratis and there was, it was obvious to everyone, then you could have this halacha. But kaifer and oz how you been a zila been a lizos miyuchadas havayos yayetz l'tavos hafkeres, and then the people were making a pirza by acting this way. But bizman ha'helam, when things are hidden, shini keres b'muna min deres ha'am ein b'mayis ha'rada geder ha'pirza ha'safas ha'pirza. All this will do is make things worse. They'll hate religion more. V'kevin shekar atzmenu asakin es hadin noyeg b'shal she'ein bo tikun v'algenu l'akzirim b'avoyis ha'havu l'amidim v'karen oyer b'mashi yadinu magas. We should bring everybody back with embraces of love. This kind of harsh tactics doesn't work anymore. These people weren't chayv misa anyway. Misa's based in. They were just marid v'lo malin was a community measure. Says the Chazon Ish, it doesn't help anymore. We have to stop doing this. So for all the meaning, this halacha marid v'lo malin doesn't apply anymore. But even in the times of the Gemara, when it did apply, it was only for those who were active, who led the charge, not for the Bnei HaTohim, which our Gemara already distinguishes. Roiv are not Minim. Even those who are Minim, right, Maridim V'Omalon, the Shechita is no good, you still can't accept the carbon from them. But Maridim would only apply if they're active participants, not if they're followers. All right, we'll have to pick up here tomorrow.